Jackson.
Here.
Jackson here. Laura.
Here.
Laura here. Fuller.
Here.
Fuller here. Steinberg.
Here.
Steinberg here.
A quorum having been established, we have a short committee hearing, I believe, today. And we would like to get back to our Senate floor as quickly as possible, but, you know, we won't short shrift anything here. Members free to answer, ask any questions you like. Let us begin with reference of bills. Are there any questions or discussions? If not, can we get a motion by Senator Jackson? Please call the roll.
Senators Emerson.
Aye.
Emerson, aye. Jackson.
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Laura.
Aye.
Laura, aye. Fuller.
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Steinberg.
Aye.
Steinberg, aye.
That passes 5-0. We have two governor's appointees appearing today. Let me begin in order here with Beverly J. Johnson as the Deputy Director of the Office of Administrative Law. Ms. Johnson, please come forward. How are you? Please sit down. Good. Good. Welcome to you. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. We want to give you an opportunity to introduce any special guests you have here today, family member or otherwise, and maybe a very brief opening statement, and then we can proceed with hopefully some limited questioning.
Okay. Well, first I'll introduce my family who's here with me today, my husband, Michael. And
welcome.
My son, Jeffrey, and my daughter, Catherine.
Welcome to all of you.
They're
home, proud day.
Home from college just in time.
Very good. Very good. Well, welcome to democracy in action here.
And so I'll just briefly introduce myself. My name is Beverly Johnson. I'm from Alameda, California. I was actually born in Alameda, where both my parents were born. But I'm a graduate of Cal State Hayward. I went on to law school at University of Pacific, McGeorge here in Sacramento, and practiced law for a few years before I got involved in local elected office. And so I served for 14 years as elected official in Alameda, including 8 years as mayor. I continued to practice law that during that entire time, because being mayor in cities like Alameda is basically a volunteer job, so it's really a dedication to public service. So I've been serving in as Deputy Director of the Office of Administrative Law since October, and I feel that it's a really good place for me to be, because my experience as an elected official, I know how important it is to ensure that staff and the agencies are complying with the authority given to them by you, and that's what we do in the office, and that's what the Administrative Procedure Act is, and we ensure that the agencies comply with the Administrative Procedure Act in terms of the public process and also in terms of the quality of regulations.
So why should the public care about underground regulations?
Well, underground regulations are regulations that have been adopted without going through that public process. And the reason the public would care is because the public should have input into regulations that they're expected to comply with. So if they're underground regulations, they're not technically regulations, but there are things that the public would need to comply with.
Give us a real-life example. I'm trying to, you know, educate the public here a little bit about why this archaic area of law and state government matters. What is this about?
Let's say a kind of a recent example of an issue that came up was a tax form. A tax form giving examples of when a tax is owed. And are those examples a regulation, or is that a law that the public has to comply with in paying taxes, or is that just an example? And if it is a law that the public needs to comply with in paying their taxes, then should it go through the administrative procedure process? And should the public have input into it?
So why would the public care that there was some form that had a bunch of hypotheticals about whether or not somebody had to pay taxes under the law?
Because if they're going to be subject to a tax, then the public feels they should have input into whether or not they should have to pay that tax.
Okay. Questions for members? Anybody have any questions? Go around. Anybody? If not, okay, I think it's kind of cut and dry. And let's hear from witnesses in support, please. Any witnesses in opposition? All right, well, this is an example of an above-ground hearing, so here we go, the way that it should be done. Yeah, I asked the question just because I think it's important just to sort of bring to life why some of these rules matter, and I think you said it well. The state and its administrative agencies shouldn't be able to just publish a bunch of ways of doing business without the public having some input into how the business is done. It's a fair principle, and you with your even limited resources in your agency have the responsibility to make sure that that doesn't happen. So you're qualified, and we are happy to support your confirmation. Moved by Senator Jackson and Emerson, I believe, too. So please call the roll.
Senators Emerson.
Aye.
Emerson, aye. Jackson.
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Lara.
Aye.
Lara, aye. Fuller.
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Steinberg.
Aye.
Steinberg, aye.
That's 5-0. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Yep, pictures. Yep, very good. Excellent. Excellent. You got to remember it.
That's for my mom.
That's for your mom. Very good. Congratulations to you. Let's move on to file item 2B, which is Thomas M. Cullen, Jr. from the Oil Spill Response Administration. Mr. Cullen, come on up. Okay. Welcome to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So I think we can make this relatively brief. Mr. Cullen, of course, appeared before this committee on the 20th of March. And we had an extensive hearing and question-answer session, and I think it's all fair to say that I was not comfortable with some of the answers. It gave me some pause, especially in terms of what OSPR and Mr. Cullen had learned from the Costco Busan incident. And so we put the pause button on the nomination. I have since met with Mr. Cullen, and we had a lengthy talk about why the hearing went the way it went the last time. And I guess I'd like to just give you an opportunity to answer for yourself here what you learned from that March 20th hearing that will be of use to you if you're confirmed and as you go forward in your job as director of OSPR.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and distinguished members. And I really particularly thank you for your meeting last week, sir, and the opportunity to come back before you. What I learned that morning is to take a deep breath and think about my answer. When the way you phrased the question and described that morning of November in 2007 and where I was as the chief of response for the 11th Coast Guard District in Alameda, and it was, as I described to you on last Thursday, it was one of those like 9/11 moments where you always remember where you were when you got the news that day. And I put myself back in the office, making the calls, thinking about the tactics as a Coast Guard response leader. And really what I needed to assure you and the other members was that response, and I appreciate that response is a much bigger issue. There were significant failures that day and in the weeks to follow. And I'm here to tell you that watching your hearings that month in 2007, the joint hearings, reviewing the ISPR, the Incident-Specific Performance Review, from a state perspective, I had read it, I had testified before it as a Coast Guardsman, but looking at it from the state perspective and the failures with local notification, liaison, the use of volunteers, the reports of the initial quantities, those are all parts of response. And I'm here to tell you that OSPR, as an office within Fish and Wildlife, is better prepared today and is ready to go with me at the leadership should something like that happen again.
Thank you, and I appreciate the answer, and would note that on the 7th of May, as well, you submitted a letter to to me as the chairman that will be part of the record. I'm happy to share it with any of our colleagues, in which you detail some of the lessons learned from the 2007 incident, and I appreciated that. I also note that in our conversation that you were able, or subsequent conversation, that you were able to talk to me about some of the emergency situations that you have actually dealt with.
Yes, sir.
Since you've been director, and how you've dealt with less publicized but still serious oil spill issues. And, you know, the reason why all this was important and relevant was we all have these brain freeze moments. Certainly I've had my share, two or three times a day, actually. But the question really is whether or not in a moment of emergency, whether or not you can take that breath and make the firm and clear decisions to respond to the emergency in the most appropriate way. And you believe that you can.
Yes, Senator, I do.
Okay. And I believe that you can as well.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I know that the state scientist testified on your behalf the first time. I know that there was a representative here today, but we're not going to take public testimony, I don't think. Are there questions from other members?
I have more a statement. Oil spills seem to be sort of a habit in my district. Both we talked about offshore, which are somewhat notorious, and those onshore by a particular company or two. And I appreciated your comments, and I also sense that you understand the urgency of dealing with these problems, both in terms of prevention as well as cleanup. And I would just like to thank you for your commitment to improving, not just dealing with what we have today, but trying to be proactive in improving the conditions so that we have fewer of these spills, because they are devastating. I mean, they create tremendous environmental as well as human problems when they occur. So I would be remiss if, on behalf of my constituents in the Santa Barbara coastal area and Ventura, also in the upper regions of my district where there's onshore oil being drilled and addressed, that we look forward to being helpful in any way so that we can reduce the spills, prevent them from happening, and then making sure that they create minimal damage. So I, too, share Senator Steinberg's confidence that you will perform more than admirably.
Thank you, Senator.
Any other questions or comments from the other members?
Move the nomination.
Thank you, Senator Emerson. Let's call the roll.
Senators Emerson?
Aye.
Emerson, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Steinberg?
Aye.
Steinberg, aye.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Jim. I'm sure
you won't forget soon.
Nor my family.
nor your family. But you know what? You're a good guy, and use it. I think you're a good leader. Use the difficulty and the controversy to your benefit here in terms of remembering it when you're in that tough situation going forward. It'll serve you and it'll serve the people of California well.
Thank you, sir.
Okay?
I'm very humbled.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Okay.
All right, members, we've got items 4 through 7 and then a walk-on. Item 3 through 7 plus the walk-on from Senator Correa. Are there any questions on any of these items? If not, we'll take a motion by Senator Lara, and we'll...
What's a walk-on?
The walk-on is a request from Senator Correa to present a resolution on June 3rd to the Orange County Water District. Board of Directors Steve Sheldon and others.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So without objection, then, we'll substitute the 5-0 unanimous roll call on all those items, 3 through 7, and the walk-on will pass. That's the end of the regular session. We have a very brief executive session. So, again, congratulations to the nominees and their families, and we'll stand in adjournment.